pursuing, and as they are going into the promised land, they have to go through the Jordan River. But the only problem is that, of course, the Jordan River is very full. You can't just cross the Jordan River because the Jordan River is full. The water level is high. In fact, during this time period, it was overflowing. It was during the flood stage because of the time of the season of the year. And so now we have an issue from a human perspective, is how are we going to cross and get over to the other side and pursue going to the promised land and to enter in the promised land? And so they need a miracle, don't they? And what God had done through Moses in the miracle of parting the Red Sea now needs to be experienced once again. They need a miracle of Almighty God. And so they need the miracle of God to part the Jordan River. And that's exactly what takes place. And so it is that Joshua is given commands of the Lord, and he instructs the priest of God to carry the Ark of the Covenant and go into the waters and go into the middle of the riverbed with the Ark of the Covenant. And it's exactly what they are going to do. And so what happens when they get to the edge of the water is that just as the water had parted for Moses in the Red Sea so many years ago. So it is that a miracle takes place. And once again, as the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant get to the water's edge, as their feet touch the water parts miraculously. And they go, as has been instructed, to the middle of the riverbed. And as the story goes on to share with us, chronicled in chapter 4, that the priests are holding the Ark of the Covenant in the middle of the riverbed, and here comes the children of Israel, and they cross over on dry land. And so the water is parted until the priest, carrying the Ark of the Covenant, carry it out. And then the river returns to its previous flood stage level of water. And so it is that this tremendous miracle of God had occurred once again in the life of the children of Israel. They had had a wonderful heritage of God moving in their midst through the generations and leading them through the prophet and their leader, their great leader Moses, that had taken place. Great miracles had happened then, but great miracles are happening once again. And so this miracle needs to be memorialized. And so that's exactly what we see in chapter 4, is that they are going to have a memorial so that this Jordan River miracle can be remembered. And so what is a message that we can receive from this Jordan River miracle? I want to get into chapter 4 today. And as we examine this passage, both a miracle that they were to remember back then for the children of Israel is also some things that we as children of the Most High God, followers of Jesus Christ, can remember and take to heart today. So first of all, I want us to see the response to the mandate of God. God had given Joshua a commandment. He had commanded him to do these things. He had instructed them exactly what to do. And so he instructs the priests what to do from there. In verses 1 through 10, it chronicles this. So join with me, if you will, in Joshua chapter 4. As we begin in verse 1, it goes on to chronicle once again what had taken place. And it goes on to say this, "And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan River, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up the 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. So the priest who bore the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried and crossed over. So what do we see as regards to the response of Joshua and the children of Israel to the mandate of the Lord which he had given them? Notice this, that Joshua obeyed God. He gives the instructions to the children of Israel, and they obey the commands that he has given, which of course are the commands that are relayed by God himself. Notice what a contrast this is and what we experience and what we had seen just moments ago in the life of the children of Israel. Now, not to take anything away from Moses. Moses had been a great leader who had served so very, very well and faithfully. But one of his final acts during his leadership, it was a blemish on his record, because we see in Numbers chapter 20, it is chronicled that the children of Israel were murmuring and complaining. They had a habit of doing that, right? As you read the stories of the children of Israel during that time period, it's a lot of murmuring and complaining. And so it was that they were murmuring and complaining in Numbers chapter 20 about the fact that they had no water. And of course, they had seen God do great work. He had led them through the wilderness with a cloud and with a pillar of fire by night. They had seen Him do great works. He had fed them multiple times. But yet, once again, they're complaining and they're griping. And so Moses has a solution from the Lord, and he's instructed that he is to speak to the rock. And in this story, he, instead of speaking to the rock for the water to pour out and gush out as he's commanded, out of frustration, out of anger, he strikes the rock. Now the water did come forth and it met their need, but it was a very sad situation and a great consequence that he had to face, because Moses, because of his act of disobedience, was not able to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. But here we have Joshua, who has probably learned from this experience and watching what had taken place. And his response to the Lord when he has called to do something and commanded to do something is he obeys. As he gives instructions to the priest to carry the Ark of the Covenant, as they follow his instruction, they follow the commandment that they are given from Joshua, that is, of course, from the Lord. As the children of Israel are commanded to cross over on dry land, this time they respond in obedience. And we are reminded what our response ought to be to the Lord, which is to obey. 1 Samuel chapter 15 verses 22 reminds us, "Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice." In other words, you and I can do so many things that we think are for the Lord. Maybe we can sacrifice and give of our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Maybe we can serve the Lord in great ways and can really serve the Lord and sacrifice for the cause of Christ. And all of those things are good things. But do you and I obey the word of the Lord? He will honor the obedience. He commands us to obey. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And notice this, what we see is that Joshua is going to be honored because of his obedience to the Lord's command. Look with me now in verse 14 and see how the Lord honors him for his obedience to him. Notice this in verse 14 of our passage. It goes on to say that all this had been accomplished. And it goes on to say, on that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of Israel, and they feared him, and they had as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. And so for Joshua, this becomes very much a rite of passage, if you will. The baton has been fully passed, if you will, to Joshua. He has fully, notice this, established. He is fully respected in this moment, and he is exalted by the Lord himself and honored because of his obedience. My dear friends, as followers of Jesus Christ, if we will heed the word of the Lord, if we will obey him, I believe that he will firmly establish our steps, that he will elevate us in the places that he wants to elevate us. Now, we are in a world and in a culture in which quite often the promotion of self is emphasized, is maybe even glorified. All we have to do as maybe sports fans is look at so often how individuals on the playing field or on the playing court will emphasize themselves and what they accomplish, for they want to exalt themselves. In the workplace, so often people are trying to climb the ladder of success, and so they toot their own horns, if they will, to exalt themselves, to lift themselves up, to advance themselves. But what we see from Scripture is that is counter to everything that the Lord desires for us to do. See, we don't have to promote ourselves. We don't have to exalt ourselves. When we follow the Lord in obedience, when we follow the Lord in humility, he can elevate us and he can exalt us in the positions that he desires to promote us to in life. As 1 Peter 5:6 reminds us, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And so as followers of Jesus Christ, we can wait upon the Lord. He will renew our strength, right? We can mount up with wings like eagles. We can run and not be weary. We can walk and not faint. Why? Because we're waiting upon the Lord. We're following the Lord. We're obeying the Lord. We're trusting the Lord. And so it is that we see a wonderful message, an example, a testimony of Joshua, the priest, the children of Israel as a whole in this situation. And so one message, once again, that we can learn from this miracle is that God honors the response of obedience. God honors the response of humility. He honors when we heed his call, when we adhere and follow his command. Another message that we can receive from this passage that is important to remember is that the miracles of God in our life are to be remembered. Notice in this passage that we see that these stones are going to be used as a memorial so that the children of Israel and their descendants will be able to remember the miracle of God that he had done in their life. Now, previous generations had seen the miracles of God, but there's this new generation that is coming along, and so much of this is new for them. It's an experience that they had not experienced before. And so it is that these need to be memorialized for the present generation, but not only the present generation, but the future generation as well. Notice that they needed to remember this miracle of what God had done in this miracle of parting the Jordan River. Look with me now in verses 21 through 23 of our passage. And as we pick up, it goes on to say in verse 21, then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on the dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we crossed over. And so it is that this memorial is set up for the current generation to remember, but also the future generation to remember, for it to be memorialized, the great miracles that God had done. There's something unique and interesting in this passage if you take a real close look, because not only is one memorial set up, but if you look real closely, it's two memorials that are set up. In this passage, we see that the 12 stones are taken, and they are set up on the west bank of where they exited the Jordan River. But there is also another memorial of 12 stones that are placed on the riverbed. So now we have stones that are on the west bank. Now they're always going to be visible to the children of Israel. As they're going about their way, as they're going about their life, they are going to cross the paths of those memorial stones. They look at that memorial and they can remember what God has done. Their children look at it, and I guess their grandchildren in due time will look at it, and they can pass on the messages of what God had done. But notice once again that there's also a memorial that is right in the center of that riverbed. What we know is that when the waters rise, when the flood waters rise in such that it is going to cover that memorial. Oh, but there's going to be a drought season a-coming. And when that drought comes, when that dry season comes, when that water level gets low, the memorial in the riverbed is going to be visible. And I don't know about you, but it's always good to be reminded of the miracles of God. But there's times in life where we have a dry period spiritually. There's times in life where we feel a little bit of a spiritual drought, if you will. And as we're going about our ways, as we see the great memorials and miracles of God in our life, when we look back to them and remember what God has done during those experiences of a dry place and a drought, if you will, spiritually speaking, isn't it good that we have some memorials to remind us of the great miracles that God has done in our life? And I don't know what you're going through today. Maybe you're going through some financial hardship. Maybe you're going through some family issues. Maybe you're going through difficult circumstances, trials and tribulations, or whatever it may be. But I would say to you, even in the dark and the dry and the places that are spiritually like a drought, go back to the Lord and remember the things that God has done for you in the past. His provision for you in the past. How He has moved mightily in your life in the past. Remembering that God is the same, what? Yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm so thankful that God has worked in the past. But I'm so thankful that God is faithful and will work in the present. I'm so thankful that our faithful God will be who He is. And He will do miracles in our future and in the lives of our descendants if they will follow the Lord in obedience and walk with Him. He will strengthen us. He will carry us through. He is a faithful God. What He has done in the past, He can do again. Some of you might recall that some time ago we had a song that our choir sung quite a bit some years ago. And as I was preparing the message this past week, I couldn't help but remember the song that our choir used to sing so often some years ago. It's a song we will remember. Anybody remember that song? We will remember. I'm going to sing for you in just a moment. Or maybe I won't. As I love to say, sing so low you can't hear me. Anyway. All righty. But we will remember. I was so inspired by the words and the song that was sung so often by the choir some time ago that I looked it up, and so it was an amazing, amazing reminder of the wonderful lyrics of reference to the miracles that God has done. This song that was sung by Tommy Walker back in the 90s, I believe it was, when it was originally recorded, says some powerful things, and I just want you to listen to the lyrics of this wonderful song, We Will Remember. It goes on to say, we will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. You're our creator, our life sustainer, deliverer, our comfort, our joy. Throughout the ages, you've been our shelter, our peace in the midst of the storm. With signs and wonders, you've shown your power. With precious blood, you showed us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life with no end. When we walk through life's darkest valleys, we will look back at all you have done, and we will shout, our God is good, and He is the faithful one. Alleluia, alleluia, to the one from whom all blessings flow. Alleluia, alleluia, to the one whose glory has been shown. And then it becomes very personal because it goes on to say, I still remember the day you saved me, the day I heard you call out my name. You said you loved me and would never leave me, and I've never been the same. Follower of Christ, do you remember that special day, the day of salvation, in which you responded to the invitation of Almighty God? Do you remember how special that was? And He has walked you through this life. He has been faithful to you, guiding and directing your steps all the way through, and will continue to guide and direct you all the way to the promised land, if you will, heaven. Heaven is our home. We are just a passing through, right? Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And so it is that we can remember what Christ has done. And so it is that we need to share what God has done in our lives with our children and our children's children. In our passage, once again, we see the important messages of the importance of how we respond to God. Walking in obedience, walking with the Lord, following His guidance and direction in our life. We once again just saw the emphasis of the importance of remembering what miracles God has done in our lives. And then finally, we see an emphasis on realizing the mighty power of God. Verse 24, the final verse of our passage, goes on to say, after all this is accomplished, verse 24 says this, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. You see, all of these miracles and this memorial is all an effort for the children of Israel in this passage to remember what God has done. But notice this, not only are they watching, did you catch that? The nations around them are watching what the true and living God is doing and capable of. They are seeing the mighty power of Almighty God. And so it is quite the testimony in this situation in which the miracle of the Jordan River is being memorialized. Let me just share this with you. When we, as followers of Jesus Christ, as we have reflected, walk with the Lord in obedience, when we testify of His goodness, when we remember what great things He has done, when we remember that He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, And when we live in that light, people that are around are going to notice. Let our light shine before men, right? That they may see the good works and what? Glorify our Father in heaven. As we live for the Lord, as we are a light, as He is the light, as we have fellowship with one another according to the New Testament, it is a testimony to those who are around us. And through that testimony, they can see the mighty power of God. And Lord willing, they'll turn to the true and living God and find a personal relationship with Him. As a follower of Jesus Christ, are we going to walk in obedience? Are we going to walk in humility as God has instructed us to do? Are we going to remember His faithfulness? And His faithfulness is to all generations. Are we going to testify of His goodness? Are we going to worship Him? Are we going to revere Him? This is what God is calling us to do today, is to walk with Him and to show others Him through our lives, through the light. But you know, as we reflect once again upon this passage, it's good for us as followers of Jesus Christ to remember what Christ has done for us. As we look at the story of the Jordan River, the miracle of the parting of the Jordan River, we cannot help but remember that there's such a reflection on what God had done in the life of the children of Israel as they had left Egypt and the bondage of Egypt. And it was Moses, God's faithful servant, who had been tasked with leading the children of Israel out of bondage and out of slavery of Egypt. And so as they were exiting the slavery that is represented, we remember that the parting of the Red Sea occurred, and the children of Israel were able to pass over on dry land as they exit Egypt. Well, we're reminded as followers of Jesus Christ, as we have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are leaving and have left spiritual slavery. We have left the bondage of sin. And He is calling us to move forward. Do not be entangled with the yoke of bondage again. We are not to turn back as the children of Israel actually wanted to before they went over and part the Red Sea was parted. They want to go back. Remember that? They want to go back to Egypt in that moment. So often, followers of Christ, I wonder how often we are tempted. We forget the bondage of the slavery of sin, and we just simply remember maybe the pleasures that were enjoyed, and we forget the consequences of the sin. And what we're reminded of, we're not to turn back, but we're to move forward. And then a generation later, as Joshua is now leading the children of Israel into the promised land, once again, the miracles of God have to occur. Once again, they have been freed from bondage. They have crossed out of slavery. But now they are going into what is the promised land. And so once again, the Jordan River, this time, is parted. And the children of Israel go across. And they are now proceeding and moving forward to the promised land. You know what takes place before they enter the promised land? They have some battles to face. Isn't that so similar to our experience? Follower of Jesus Christ, we have been freed from the bondage of sin, the penalty of sin. But until we see Christ face to face, until we enter that promised land, as we refer to heaven, there's some spiritual battles to face before we go into that promised land. Here is the key, follower of Jesus Christ. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Follow Him in obedience. Walk in obedience with Him. Follow His lead. What we see in the rest of Joshua is that as a whole, Joshua led faithfully, served God well, walked in obedience, led them into promised land. They experienced victory as they went into the promised land. And we have ultimate victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we have battles to face, follower of Jesus Christ. And may we not yield to the temptations of sin, but may we follow His lead. And when we have to face those battles, which we will until the day we leave this earth, we can depend on the Lord Jesus Christ, who has promised to give us victory over any spiritual battle that we face. And then, when all of that is done, and our time on earth is done, then we will wake up into glory in the promised land that He has promised us, heaven, with all the blessings of being in His presence forever and ever with Him. We shall be His people and He shall be our God. And the former things will have passed away according to Revelation, right? This, folks, is the hope that we have. Are we living in the reality of the hope that we have in Christ? Oh, let us remember the great things that God has done, but let us also be reminded that He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And what He's done in the past, He will do it again. So may we walk in victory as followers of Jesus Christ. If you're here, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We just talked about leaving the bondage of sin. We want to encourage you to do that. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That's talking about physical death, but more importantly, spiritual death. That's talking about separation from the God of the universe for all eternity. We've got good news for you today. If you never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, for the wages of sin is death. But that's not the end of the verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you're here today and you never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to come to Him and receive His invitation. He wants you to come into that promised land and spend eternity in heaven with Him. He wants you to follow His lead and His invitation and receive His glorious salvation. And you have that invitation. You have that opportunity today. So won't you respond to Him today? The invitation is open to you. It's a free gift of salvation. All you do is come to Him by faith, admitting that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, believing that that Savior is Jesus Christ, the very Son of God who died for your sins, who died for my sins, but did not stay in that tomb. But He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And so that empty tomb is a memorial for the hope that all have who place their faith in Jesus Christ. And so if you'll receive that by faith, believe it in your heart, confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, the Bible says you will be saved. And there will be a new name written down in glory, and it'll be yours. What a wonderful testimony that would be today. As a worship team comes forward and prepares for our time of invitation, join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do come before You, and on this Memorial Day weekend, we remember, O Father, through a passage of the great things that You have done in the Old Testament. But I'm so thankful that it doesn't stop with the Old Testament, but You have done great things that is chronicled in the New Testament, and You have done great things in our lives, and we remember the greatness, the goodness, the faithfulness of who You are, and we give You praise for that reality and that truth. Now, O Father, help us, O Lord, as we do flee, O Father, the temptations of sin. As we endure the trials and tribulations of this world, help us to cling to You. Help us to trust in You. Help us to walk with You all the way to that promised land, remembering that what You have done, You will do again, and You can give us victory in our daily life. So this we do pray, that we'll follow You and walk with You in obedience. This we do pray. May we honor, may we glorify You as followers of Jesus Christ, children of the Most High God. But if there is one who's never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, may it be today. Now is the acceptable day of salvation. May they place their faith in Jesus Christ, and we will give You praise. We'll give You honor for a soul coming to Christ. I know the angels rejoice in heaven. Father, oh, now we are entering what is a time of invitation. it is our opportunity to respond to what the Holy Spirit has laid upon our heart. Help us, O Father, simply to respond in obedience. May you receive all the honor and the glory for the response of our heart that honors and glorifies you. We do pray. In Jesus' name, amen.